At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Look, we get it, Tiger fans. We know the baseball season can be a grind. Luckily, when you're ready to trade hot dogs for tailgates, we've got you covered with Litterbox, a Detroit Lions podcast. It's the same unfiltered Detroit sports talk you get here, just with more biting kneecaps and fewer bullpen meltdowns. So when Sunday rolls around, don't just pace around like AJ Hinch waiting for a reliever. Fire up Litterbox, a Detroit Lions podcast, wherever you're listening now, and roar with us through the NFL season.
Billy P from the D and Chet here. Thank you all for listening to Litterbox, a Detroit Tigers podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please make sure you hit that subscribe button so that you never miss an episode. We'd love hearing your thoughts, too. Leave us a rating or just drop us a comment. Please let us know what you think and whatever you want us to cover next. Your feedback really helps us grow and keeps the Tigers talk rolling all season long. Go Tigers, and thank you.
You're listening to The Litterbox, a Detroit Tigers podcast with your hosts, Chet West and Bill Patterson.
Detroit Tigers Litterbox listeners, the sky is officially falling in. Chicken Little was right, and the Tigers are now only 3.5 games ahead of the Cleveland Guardians.
That's just depressing, Bill. Thank you for that start to today's episode. It's what I needed after watching this debacle over the last 3 days.
There was nothing good to report, although the fact remains, Chet, that the Tigers were always in these games, save extra innings. They were never more than a run off, but they cannot score with runners in scoring position. It has gotten so frustrating, Chet, that they can no longer put it together as a team. If the pitching's good, the bullpen's bad, meaning starting pitching. If the hitting's good, the pitching falls apart.
Chemistry is just, it's off sometimes, right? Like, sometimes it just feels like one leg of the tripod decides to take a day out of the ballpark and go shopping or something, and the other two just fall over. It's like the thing just falls over without the leg. I don't really get it, except for them. It's probably more like two legs of the tripod take the day off and it becomes a monopod. But anyhow, it does seem like they can't put it all together, and it's very frustrating to watch. There were telltale signs.
There were telltale signs, and it was interesting today to watch AJ Hinch's and Tarek Skubal's post-game interviews, and they both alluded to the same thing, that they are just not putting it all together in every phase, meaning pitching, defense, offense, whatever else you want to say. I mean, they've tried to be aggressive on the base paths. However, that's actually come back to bite them somewhat against the Guardians. And it just, I keep getting the question from listeners, family, friends, who else is out there? What else do we have? You know, what's in the farm system? I keep hearing we have this great farm system. And my retort and answer is, you've seen what's there. Everybody else is in Double A. They're not ready yet. And the Triple A guys, especially pitching, we've seen those players this season. And
they just don't have a lot of firepower down there to pull from right now to come up and infuse energy in the team. You're looking for like a prospect that's going to come up show off a little bit, show out, and these vets are going to go, man, we got to get, you know, this guy's got us going. We got a little fire. There's nothing coming with fire.
No.
You know, and Torque was quoted the other day as basically saying last year, we had that fire. We had that kind of, we were chasing, right? You're the rabbit chasing the carrot. You're trying to get to the playoffs and do the unbelievable. This year, it's like, they don't have that. And he kind of said that. He goes, we want to win, but we just don't have that hunger this year, which is sort of disappointing. I don't even know if he used the word hunger, but it was something real close.
My thought is this. It's not me looking for answers because I know that there's nothing out there. The frustration lies in, again, with the front office thinking that this was enough to get them over the hump. And if this evaporates and the Tigers do not win the American League Central this season, all I can say is shame on the Tigers front office, ownership, the entire organization, because this was a golden opportunity that has slipped through their fingers. Yeah. They were up 15 games on this Guardians team and the Royals as recently as the third week in July. And here we are, being swept by same Guardians. So
very much like a horse race, right? Like the guys get out of the gate really fast. You almost discount that horse. You're like, yeah, that horse isn't winning. Everybody's going to catch up. This thing's too long. They're coming out real hot. They're playing above themselves, which is what the Tigers did in the first half. I mean, we had guys like, you know, look, and we loved it. I loved him. We had McKinstry. We were begging for an all-star nod to McKinstry, and now he's gone back to being Zach McKinstry, right?
I was going to say, when the second you said that, Chat, the first thought bubble that popped in my head was Zach McKinstry in terms of our first player, you know, outperforming his normal or career average
and
ability.
Your dog feels the same way.
He is really, Carl is real really fired been ups, up. Really, really upset with Zach McKinstry.
I don't blame him. So we know what we also don't, we just don't have like a Jose Ramirez. Every time we play the Indians, I look at a guy like Jose Ramirez and I'm like, this guy is feared. He comes to the plate and it's almost like the needle on the record scratches. Everything just stops and the whole team locks up. Like, oh gosh, it's Jose Ramirez. What are we going to do? We don't really have a guy like that in our lineup, do we?
No. And that is the biggest thing that I think was missing from the trade deadline. We called it dumpster diving. The media called it that in terms of relief pitchers, starting pitchers that were picked up on the cheap or not trading valuable assets. I still think, and we documented it via this podcast, that the big bat, the reliable big bat was what we were missing. And unfortunately, Riley Green's not that reliable yet.
Not yet.
And there just isn't another guy. And the Guardians have two guys. It's my obligatory love fest to Stephen Kwan.
Yes.
Even though he went 0 for 5 today, he's still basically...
He is your baseball centerfold.
He is my baseball centerfold. I'm looking at him right now on the wall.
So let's talk about Steven. This, though. I do feel, oh boy, don't get too worked up over Mr. Kwan. I do feel, though, like it might have been a little bit of bad luck for the Tigers this year because the trade deadline didn't really have much to offer of need for them. And the stuff they needed, like 10 other teams were going after likewise. So it wasn't like we had that big bopper out there that you'd invest heavily in and trade pieces. It wasn't like we had it. You know, Eugenio Suarez was the guy, and he's not that great. I mean, we've already profiled his struggles in the second half when he got traded over to the Mariners. And I haven't looked up what he's done over the last 2-3 weeks, but he wasn't exactly the biggest boon for them. And I just don't think. And Jose Ramirez doesn't pop up all the time on the deadline, right? So it was like, who are we going to get that was a needle mover? There just weren't needle movers.
My retort to that would be get creative.
I was like, about to say, you want him to get creative. You want him to figure it out. You want him to find something.
Well, the San Francisco Giants did, and it looks like they might not make the playoffs. So I was wrong on that prediction.
Sure.
But they opened all this signing a disgruntled Rafael Devers.
Yeah.
And figuring out a hole in their lineup, moving Mike Yastrzemski to the Royals, and they have played better in stretches. I still think, you know, the Giants are probably a season away. this isn't a Giants podcast, but that's
but the Devers kind of, could be great for the Giants next year, though it didn't work this year.
It was the type of creativity that I felt was lacking from this front office, because when that deal was done, the Tigers were the best record in Major League Baseball. You know, I'm sure people were feeling really good about it. And you and I have talked about when this team's clicking all three phases, the ceiling's high. When it's not, and I look at Wensel Perez playing center field today, I sit there and just scratch my head at how they've won this many games.
He played in all three games this week.
And he's a great right fielder. He can play adequate left field. He is not a major league center fielder, and he would be the first to admit that. And it didn't bite the Tigers per se this series, but it certainly could have. I just don't think the organization, top to bottom, is as strong as the record supported in any way, shape, or form this year. I still think this team is possibly 2027, 2028, you know, provided there's no work stoppage, away from contending. And I don't think
this team was as bad as the writers had them chalked up to be at season start. Do you remember everybody had us third place in the AL Central?
Fourth.
And hey, that may happen fourth. Yeah, they were like, this was a flash in the pan last year. And look, they came out, proved everybody wrong. They had an incredible first half. It was awesome. However, I saw a few things in this past series, and I had a couple of those moments where you just sort of stare a hole in the television while you're watching it take place.
It's like an accident.
It's like
unfolding.
Watching the car accident, and you can't stop watching. So in game one, we get this great ninth inning home run to tie things up from Karp, right? And I'm feeling, man, this is what we need. This is how you get through a series like this at the end of the season, and everybody gets going, and it's all Pistons firing, right? And you get into the 10th inning, and you give up four runs right off the bat in the 10th inning. And that is the way, in my opinion, you take all the air out of the balloon right there. Whenever I see a team lose that way to start a series off, or whenever my team wins that way to start a series off, the only thing I can think of is, man, we got the momentum now. And momentum at this time of year, I'll take momentum over talent at this time of year, any day of the week. The emotion to get you through to game 162 is extremely important. The mojo that these teams need, and that was a mojo killer. I saw that happen in game one, and I just went, oh boy, this is going to be a long series. And it was.
And that probably explains Billy P. from the D's grumpiness getting on this pod. I was on with a few family members at the game. Cousin Evan, we're going to give you a shout. And when Karp hit that Karp bomb, I was going nuts. He had his phone on speaker. You could hear it. It was awesome, Chet. And then to give up four runs from Will Vest, who...
Yeah.
I don't question...
He's sort of...
Well, no, I don't question the decision. He didn't have it. He was the best available. He didn't have it. And I am.
And he's had a couple rocky outings lately.
I'm 100% with you, Chet, that the momentum and wind went out of the sails. Hence, the next game, Guardians win 4-0. The Tigers bats were awful.
Gone.
0-10 with runners in scoring position, and then to finish it off, a 3-1 loss today.
So the second time in this series when I stared a hole in the television,
okay,
and I was sitting there going, what hath happened to our wonderful ball club? I got to watch the treat in the latter portion of the game, and I kind of couldn't believe that I was watching this. The order, I believe at the time, it was a very strange happening the way this was, but it was like Wensel Perez, Andy Ibanez, and Jamai Jones somehow came up in order at one point. And I might be missing somebody in there, but somebody may have gotten on base. But I remember thinking to myself, like, you have all three of these guys batting within a slot or two of each other in the order in the most critical part of a very critical game, down a run or two, and you've got, I think we had ducks on the pond at the time. I think we had guys on first and second, actually, which is how this happened.
We did.
And I sat there going, you can't rely on a when Ceil Perez, Andy Ibanez, Jamai Jones trifecta of average with two ducks on the pond down 2-0. And I know why they hit for Parker Meadows. It was a lefty-lefty matchup. And Meadows, while he's been better since he's been back from his latest injury stint,
ailment,
he hasn't been great. And Jamai Jones has been scrappy. Don't get me wrong. All three of those guys, Andy Ibanez, Wenzel Perez, have had their moments of scrap throughout this season. I actually don't need to see Andy Ibanez anymore the rest of the year. But the other two guys have had their moments.
Couldn't agree more. And again, this goes back to the ceiling floor. And the fact that I feel that Scott Harris and company vastly overvalued or were given instructions not to spend. I don't know if the Tigers were, their feelings were hurt after Alex Bregman.
Could be.
They gave him a great offer, and he's the bat that probably would have helped a lot in this series.
Yeah.
He's not Jose Ramirez, and I do have to give props. I know we make fun of my Stephen Kwan man crush. Jose Ramirez is the pro's pro, and I hope he gets his shrine in Cooperstown someday. And he just does the little things, and you can see that team rally around him, and he is what I hope Riley Green becomes for this Tigers team.
So a couple things to throw out here. You know, you saw Gleyber Torres ground out with the two ducks on the pond there at the end, and I had to start looking. Gleyber's at a 253 batting average right now with a 753 OPS. That's fairly pedestrian. Okay, that's on the season too, which means his second half has been a nightmare.
His since August 1st.
Yeah.
He has literally driven the car off the cliff.
Flatlined here.
Yeah.
A man that we thought was going to command big bucks in the offseason now looks like he's going to get another one-year $15 million deal.
And possibly.
I don't really need the Tigers to be the one signing that. So we're doing a little about face on him. But he hit that hot shot rocket right at third baseman Jose Ramirez, who's fielded it deftly and threw it across the diamond to throw him out, which, you or I might have been able to throw him out. Gleyber doesn't run that fast anymore. But is what it is. I was happy to see Skubal get a good game in. I was really happy to see that. We sort of needed to see that after his little injury scare there last week.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, all hope is not lost. There are still
no
9 games left in this baseball season.
Baseball's going to baseball, Bill. We're going to see what's going to happen here.
So the Atlanta Braves come to town for a 3-game set this weekend, and they're probably the most underachieving team in Major League Baseball this year.
Yeah.
And they've been injury riddled. They do have really, really quality starting pitching when it pitches or they pitch to their ability. They have really good position players. It's going to be a tough test. And interestingly enough, the Guardians go to the Twin Cities in Minneapolis to play 4. They have a doubleheader scheduled as well for a rain delay previously this season, which is the half game in hand that talked about, being the 3.5. So looking ahead to the weekend, we'll be back with you Litterbox listeners to dissect that series. I do have a food segment for us if you'd like it.
Would you like to do food? I feel like you need something to cheer you up. Let's talk about food.
Well, one of my favorite things, and this will
cheer me up. Is this something you want to do right now?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's do this.
Would you indulge me?
No, please.
All right. So one of the only things that Cleveland is famous for food-wise, or one of the more famous things, happens to be their authentic stadium mustard, quite simply known as stadium mustard in air quotes.
That's fabulous.
And it has a deep and interesting background. It's delicious. I know you like no condiments on your dog, but I really would like you to try this with me at some point.
I feel like something called stadium mustard is something I need to try.
You really should. And if
it's
you
like axle grease, it's just, there's no branding. It's just simple. I see it. I see a picture of it here. This is amazing, by the way.
It's a brown mustard designed to go on whatever encased meat you're eating.
I was going to say, is that a Dijon? Am I looking at some sort of a spicy?
Come on now, it's Cleveland. There's no white wine put in their mustard, buddy.
Okay.
Yeah. What's great about it, though, is that, of course, with anything great in life, there had to be conflict. And so there are two competing companies now that serve
basically the same recipe. Burtman is apparently, they claim to be the originator. Davis Food Company is the one that claims, no, we have it because of whatever. I'm not going to get into all that.
This is fascinating. Do they serve both of them at the ballpark by chance?
No, they only serve one.
And that would be a beautiful little tiff.
So if you talk to Clevelanders or Clevelanders, I don't know how Northern Ohio folks, there's a divisive line between Stadium Mustard and Burtman's, even though they're the same thing. So I think
so. The one bottle says the authentic Stadium Mustard.
Yes.
A great American tradition. The other bottle says Burtman's original ballpark mustard, proud partner, and then the Cleveland Guardians logo in the middle. Burtman has been around since 1925. This is fascinating.
Yeah.
So is good stuff, Bill.
That is what I have mustard. To cheer us all up. Everybody that's a loyal listener, why don't you go online, order a couple bottles, one of each, and send us your comments. And Chet and I will also do a taste test. I've already ordered mine ready.
I'm going to get some of this. I'm going to find this somewhere.
Well, and it's Oktoberfest season, so maybe grab a hearty
pretzel,
maybe a bratwurst, you could slap it on a regular hot dog.
Giant soft pretzels. Go get soft pretzel with some salt on it.
Yeah. Just
drizzle a little Burtman's on there.
Yeah.
Anyhow, that's what I like to have mustard with is my pretzel. So maybe that's what I would have it on that instead of a hot dog. I don't know, but I'm going to give it a shot.
Even a bratwurst, you eat plain?
Oh, not usually. It depends. Usually I'll put some stuff on a brat, especially mustard.
You ruined it. I was going to tease it for another episode, but it's all good.
What are you teasing? What do you mean? What was I going to tease?
What you do put toppings on encased meat. Yeah.
We could do that. I mean, we can do a whole episode. I can get you 20 minutes on that. I'm sure you can get 20 minutes on that.
All right, Tigers and Tiger fans, loyal listeners to the Litter Box, your Tigers podcast.
Don't lose the faith yet.
Keep the faith.
3.5 games up. We got some stuff to work with here, people.
We do. And we've got Stadium Mustard to keep us happy until then.
All right. That's going to do it for this episode of the Litter Box, a Detroit Tigers podcast. Thanks for hanging out with us. We're Bill and Chet. We'll be back soon with more Tigers talk. If you're enjoying the show, be sure to follow or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And hey, if you got a minute, leave us a quick review. Till next time, go Tigers.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.